Oh, yes. King Curtis with Jeep's Blues. He's on tenor sax. Nat Adderley is on cornet. Wynton Kelly on piano. Sam Jones on bass. And Belton Evans on drums. This is from Curtis's 1960 release titled Soul Meeting. This is Lead Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead, and we should start off right away with some phone calls. How are you feeling today? What is your reaction today to Jeff Bezos's venture into space? Except he's not into outer space. He's just gone to the boundary. What are your thoughts about this day? Do you feel it to be as historic as many people do? Or what do you think is the significance of this day? Just a quick reaction I'd like to get from you as we begin the program today with this particular achievement hanging all over our heads. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What is the point of today in your view? 888-874-4888. We'll take some quick reactions and then we get on with our program in full. 888-874-4888. On this day, when Bezos ventures into space again, and we don't know what is on the menu, we don't know what the purpose is specifically, except to learn more. But what are your thoughts? Not so much. 888-874-4888. I don't want to waste too much time. You got to be on the ball. And if we don't have any calls yet, we'll just move on with our regular program. But I thought it would be a good way to start to just get a sense of what people are thinking on this day. It is not an ordinary day. Ed, you're there.
Hey, Eutrice, how you doing?
Okay, what's on your mind on this major day?
You know, this brings to mind the Gil Scott-Heron tune. My sister Nell got bit by a rat today, and Whitey's on the moon. Rich men buying their way into space. I mean, it used to take the efforts of a whole country to get, or several countries to get into space. Now, if your pockets are deep enough, you can ride the rocket ship and even ride it back. I mean, it's pathetic. It has no, in my personal opinion, has no historic significance. It's just rich white guys spending their money. And they should be, and personally, I believe it should be a crime for someone to have that much money.
Why should it be a crime? Why should it be a crime? Why should it be a crime?
For someone to have that much money and resources with all the problems that we have on this planet and be allowed to devote it to the selfish and, quite frankly, the wasteful endeavor of shooting yourself to the edge of the atmosphere and coming back. It should. This is my personal opinion. It should be a moral crime. Space travel. That's why NASA went out of business. Space travel is not practical. It's not a practical endeavor for human beings. We're not physically equipped to be out in space. We don't have the necessary covering. We don't even have the necessary technology to make safe interstellar journeys. It's risky. It's wasteful. And there are far more important things on this planet that could be done with that money than shooting it up into the atmosphere. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's his money. If he wants to spend it that way, what's the problem with that?
It's his money, but he shouldn't be allowed to make that much money. No human being should be allowed to make that much money. No, I'm sorry.
You want to place limits on how much money a person should make?
Yes, when they're going to do foolishness with it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I wasn't looking for you there. I was looking for some deep significance to the day and to Bezos's trip to the outer limits.
A rich white man playing with a toy doesn't show any significance for me. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, or Richard Branson, they're all rich white boys playing with toys. There's no productive.
How do you know that there isn't something deeply scientific going on?
First of all, they're not going into space. You know, they're going to the edge of the atmosphere, riding and come back. And even Bezos and Elon Musk stated that their main endeavor is the commercialization of space, to open it up, to make it a common practice.
Right. So what's wrong with that? From an entrepreneurial point of view, they're making an investment in what they see as the next level of commerce for them.
Listen, today we could have had clear skies in New York, but we got a cloudy white fog. You want to know why? Because there's a massive fire burning 2,000 miles away that's hitting and the smoke is hitting the jet stream and it's blocking out the sun. We've had red skies due to massive wildfires. We've got torrential rains washing away cities. Leave space for the spacemen. Let's do something here on Earth.
All right. So is that part of your objection that we have had now the civilianization, I hate to stumble over the word, of space? This should be left to that specific group of people who have devoted their lives to studying it, et cetera, et cetera. We should not have interlopers come in just because they think, well, let's check out the money-making possibilities here. Is that what's bothering you about this?
No. What's bothering me is you made your money here with the people on this planet. The only reason that Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Branson are billionaires is because of their rapacious business practices, their low salary pay, and their corporatization of what was once mom and pop shops and businesses, and from bookstores to curio shops. They incorporated it and mechanized it and turned it into a profit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong making a profit, but if you're going to use your profit, if you're going to make profit off of people, then I feel you have a moral obligation to improve the life of the people that you're making the profit off of. And they're not doing that by going out in the freaking space.
So today is not a good day for you then?
Not at all. This event bears no historic evidence, no scientific precedent. It's just a bunch of rich white guys playing with toys. That's my thing.
Okay. Thanks for this analysis. Thank you so much. Henry from Chicago. Are you also down today, or are you up today, or are you hopeful about something?
How you doing, Trace?
I'm hanging.
Well, you know, I'm not excited, but I'm not down about it. It kind of beat me to it because all day I've been listening to Gil Scott-Heron's Whitey on the Moon as well. And, you know, it just kind of reminded me of that poem today. But, you know, and as far as Ed, I agree with everything with the exception of, you know, him being a crime on, you know, spending his, you know, Jeff Bezos spending his money whenever he wants to. But I think he mentioned that, you know, it should be a crime for him to have all that money. But unfortunately,
really?
We live in a capitalist society.
This should be a crime for him to have all that money that he worked for and invested in and multiplied to the point where it is right now? And by the way, let's not forget that he also invested in charitable and public service kinds of things as well.
No, I disagree with that on that. I disagree with him on about him having all that, being a crime for him to have all that money, because, you know, unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society, and for him to have all that money, he's allowed to have it and spend it the way he wants to. So I don't agree with it being a crime, but, you know, obviously him having all that money is, for me, is not the issue of this whole space exploration thing. What I'm thinking about is, you know, what you were saying about the monetization of, you know, commercial flights into space, I guess, when technically he didn't even go into space. He went to the limits of the atmosphere. I forgot the name of the atmosphere that heads into space, but this is a start of possibly, you know, non-military or non-NASA people trying to explore space. But I was thinking about this, and this is like a far ahead type of thing. So I will probably say, I'll probably predict the next hundreds of thousands of years down the line, long after we're gone, when humans will do, you know, space exploration as a regular thing, when it starts, I'm afraid that if we do go out into the reaches of space and we do find, you know, intelligent life on other planets or beings kind of like us, that just like the Europeans did coming over here to the New World, we're going to try to colonize them. But what I'm afraid of is, you know, experiencing other alien life forms and them not taking, you know, taking acceptance to our, you know, colonialized type of mindset, that they might wipe us out.
Wow. Henry, this is not like you to be so fearful. Why all of a sudden this overwhelming sense of fear and foreboding?
Well, you know, like I said, we will probably be long gone when that time happens. But, you know, going back to what Ed was saying about the issues we have here and the issues we have on this planet in regards to relating to ourselves and relating to other human beings, how are we going to relate to other life form, you know, in space when we can't even be civil to ourselves? And, you know,
well, that question would obtain just as well in the days of Christopher Columbus and others. Why are you going over there? Where is there? What are you expecting to get and bring back? I mean, how do you square what you are feeling, although you can't quantify it, but you certainly are feeling it. You're feeling trepidation. You're feeling a bit anxious about this because you are aware that a threshold is about to be crossed, and you're not liking what you see, but you're not saying why. Deep down, what is it?
I'm not liking what I'm seeing because of the fact that we haven't, as humans, resolved the issues being on Earth, and so going into space is just going to carry over some of these issues that, you know, we may have. I mean, you know, and like I said, this is in terms of us risking, you know, our lives here on this planet that, you know, we were assigned to take care of, and we're doing a poor job of doing that, and now we're about to go into space and cause more havoc and more destruction.
But do you accept, though, based on history, based on facts, do you accept that's not how the world works? The world works in a way in which people spontaneously decide, okay, I think it's time for me to do this, and I'm going to go out there and see what's out there. I don't know what's out there, but I'm going out there to see what there is. And then I'll come back and we figure out where we go from there. Isn't that how exploration works?
Based off of history, in most cases, no. Based off of history, exploration is basically about exploitation. And going back to your reference to Christopher Columbus, one of his basic missions was to not just see what's on the other side, but to claim what's on the other side for himself. And no matter what and who was in that place, they were going to get it, whether by force or by, you know, whatever, which he did take by force. So this situation here is just reminiscent to what we've been doing as human beings, forever.
Okay. So trepidation is your word for today. You're anxious about what this eventually will mean. And you're basing your gut feeling is deeply rooted in the historical record of how human beings have behaved and what they have done was something that should benefit everybody, but it of course did not. All right, that's valid. Mm-hmm. That's a valid way to feel. But we'll see how, when we get debriefed, if we get debriefed, what was the point from Bezos's point of view of going to the outer limits? What is he looking to do? He's already said he's looking to make money, to commercialize trips, much like a tourist industry. People who have lots of money wouldn't mind spending money going to the outer limits to find out what's there. They've never been there, they've never seen it, and there's a possibility that it could be a sector for a particular group of people that would become a legitimate travel. It's like a travel agency for the ultra rich. So I need not say that you and I are not going to be booking tickets anytime soon.
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Henry, for your off-the-cuff remarks today. But I'm just trying to get a sense of how people are reacting, the visceral reaction. It's not one of those things where you've had the time to sit down and really think and pinpoint and research. But just as we are today, just as the news hits us, what is the reaction? Thanks so much. Donald from Georgia, what is your reaction today? What do you think?
Hotel. Well, I'm thinking I feel sick. It's what it does. It makes me sick. I know it's his money. I know the billionaires can do what they want to do. But you're looking at a man who stopped the union from coming to the place that he, Amazon. And they must be fighting for a livable wage. And yet he can flaunt his money in their face. That makes me sick. That makes me angry. And the news media also makes me angry, because at least they can show both sides of the situation. So I feel sick. I don't watch it. And really, the American people show me how fickle they are. because one day they are protesting, the next day they celebrate. So I just feel sick about the whole situation.
What do you think should be the correct, if I could use that word, the correct or the appropriate reaction today? You say it should sicken Americans today. People should be sick of it. But
I think the people should boycott watching it. That's all.
Okay, so they boycott watching it. What does what does that achieve?
Well, one thing is it's going to let the news media know, hey, this is not important. This is not important to us. I'm sitting up here fighting for a livable wage, and this man tells me no, but yet he got enough money to fly outside of the earth, and I'm not celebrating.
I understand I respect your point of view on that. I'm trying to get you to address directly what it is underneath all of that that is really bothering you today.
That what's really bothering me to that is the same old thing. I've called you before and just told you how depressed I am, how I just feel like things are going to breadbasket. What's really bothering me, it seems like the American people are just falling for anything that the media throws out. And I think if there were no protests or nothing like that, well, hey, why protest tomorrow when it comes back or the day after tomorrow? If you're for one thing, go for it all the way. If you want a livable wage, if you're against the elites controlling the United States, be against it. If you're not, don't. I'm just tired of all the hypocrisy.
So what, in your view, if you had any measure of control or influence over today, what would you have people do, or what would you have liked to see when, in terms of the people's reaction, just generally, what people are saying and thinking on this day?
Well, number one, I would have the news media pay close attention to the workers at Amazon today. Show what they're going through. Talk to them what they need, what their grievances are. That's what I would do. And I would show on another screen this man going up in space, spending all kinds of money. Costing people $28 million.
But it's his money. Here's the bottom line. It's his money.
I know it's his money, but you asked me what would I do. I would show the economy. I would show that he does not care enough for his workers to pay them a livable wage. And I would show how he's taking money that I consider him throwing away. $28 million would go a long way to bring about livable wage to those folks. That's what I would show. I would show the cold-heartedness in him.
All right. Do you give any consideration at all that Bezos has also done that, but not strictly in the way that you have defined it? He has given away a lot of money. He has supported many charities. He has supported many initiatives at the grassroots level and has used his money to benefit many people. Does that count?
Well, it's just like having three people out there starving, in your family starving, three people. You'll support two and forget the other one. I'm saying you have enough money to support all of them. And plus, the money he's getting away to charities and stuff, this, that, and other, it's a tax write-off for him. So as long as the people at Amazon are struggling, no, I have no respect for them. None.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Donald. You've given it some thought, I see. Thank you very, very much for contributing today. Gene from Maryland, you're on the air. What are your thoughts on this day with these events occurring and affecting the whole world?
Thank you, Utrice, and thank you for the time this afternoon. So
thank you.
I think Henry got it right when, you know, your question to him was like, well, what is this for? You know, going out into space and all of this kind of stuff. It was Dr. Clark who said that he prepared a folder for Malcolm and he gave it to him. And he was conducting basic research. And to Henry's point, we don't do that anymore. We conduct research for profit. And that is what's happening here. And so I would point out, because you brought up a couple of times today with other callers, the idea that this is his money and he's spending it the way he wants to, et cetera. I disagree. It was President Obama who shut down the Space Launch Operations Program at NASA and gave that stuff away to industry, specifically Cape Canaveral in Florida, the Johnson Space Center in Texas, and the Vandenberg facility in California. The people, the historical research, all of that engineering was given away for free to be exploited by these companies. And that's what you're seeing now. I don't think that this is some grandiose idea that these people have come up with on their own. It is not something that they did without the help of government and the taxpayer. And I think that we need to pay attention to that because it's the freebies, it's the free stuff that this country has a very long history of giving things away to industrialists, whether it was the making of the railroads, ports, airports, road infrastructure across the country. All of this historically has happened on the back of the taxpayer. And we need to be clear about that. And this is simply a continuation of that same activity, courtesy of President Obama.
Wow. You make some strong points. But at the same time, I come back to the essential question here. I understand your points. And they're very good points. They're very strong and relevant points. But is there something you're not saying? Is there something that you're not articulating, but you're leaving it up to us who are listening to you to infer it rather than you state it?
Yeah, Utrice, I mean, you know your callers, particularly those of us who call relatively frequently. You know us. And when we have something to say, we say it. Whether we agree or not with you or other guests or other callers, we say what we have to say. And in this case, the point that I really wanted to bring to the air was the connection between these actions and these companies and these activities of today and the government, that they didn't get this stuff for free. You know, just like Vanderbilt didn't build the railroads for free. He was given a land grant across the country to build railroads. That's what we're seeing now. This is a new railroad that is being built with the hand and the funding and the agency of the government.
So what should people do? What should the reaction, what is the proper, in your view, what is the most relevant and proper reaction in this space we're in? Having, you've noted that essentially, this is just Bezos capitalizing on money he has strategically spent. He is given a great deal of consideration and lots of space, pardon the pun, for him to do whatever it is he wants to do. As an individual entrepreneur, he's not representing the government, but himself. What should the reaction be right now, in your view?
I don't know that I'm qualified to say what the reaction should be. I can tell you that my reaction is one of extreme disappointment and continued disappointment in the priorities of not just our government, but our society. And I think that Henry and Donald really pointed this out very well, that these dollars are being spent while we've got a third of the country on fire, literally on fire, uncontrolled. And these guys are taking a 14-minute joyride to the edge of space. That's disgusting. Thoroughly disgusting.
Well, you do know that in the development of many things that today are so strategic to our aggregate welfare and progress, people found a lot of things disgusting. What is particularly disgusting about this, as opposed to experiments, syphilis experiments and other kinds of experiments that were done at human expense, and specifically at Black people, the expense of their lives? What is the difference?
I don't think there is any difference. And I think the most disgusting part of it is the fact that there's something there to be debated. There are people who, you know, the doctors and the institutions who conducted and benefited from the research of the syphilis experiments and so forth. There are companies who have cashed in on the outcomes of that research over time. And the idea that we are supposed to be a moral people who have a grounding in law and morals. Each time we examine these things and really start to peel that particular onion, we start to see that that level of grounding and morals that we proclaim to have, we really don't. And when we look at what's happening with this launch today, and we think in terms of what is actually happening as a technical question, and then start to look at it as a question of, is this the right thing to do? Should we be doing this at this time? Is this going to benefit us, given the other emergency situations that we're dealing with presently, whether it be the pandemic, whether it be the fires, or the children who didn't get to go to school over this past year? Take your pick. There is so much other stuff which requires attention and focus and funding that is not happening because you and I are talking about a 14-minute joyride.
Strong point. I can't argue with that. And I won't. I'm saying, though, that how much credence do you give to another point of view, which is that we are reacting viscerally, perhaps, to this notion of the privileges that accrue when you're wealthy, you have a lot of money, you're able to buy your way into the decisions that you want. But at the same time, does a Bezos or Branson or Mr. Tesla, what's his name? I'll get it in a minute. But do they not also have a right? I don't want to use the word right. It's not the particular word I'm looking for. Do they not also have some contention that they should be treated a little bit differently because of contributions they have made already and contributions that they will make if they're able to continue with their research and so forth? Do you see that perhaps this ends up being highly personal and highly selective?
Eutrice, Martin Luther King Jr. said, no lie will last forever. The biggest lie ever told by the wealthy is that they are self-made men, and they're not. So the rights that you're describing, that they should be able to do these things because they feel that they're important and so forth, is not true. Again, President Obama made this possible by closing down space flight operations and giving the infrastructure away. So all of the wealth and all of the intellectual property and all of the things that go along with that now and into the future was a big, fat Christmas gift given by the U.S. government. So, no, I don't think these guys have the right or should be given special privilege or some sort of umbrage to allow them to just go forward with all kinds of pomp and circumstance based on this accomplishment. It's not their accomplishment. Just like the railroads were built with the help of the government, it's happening again, and we're watching it.
Well, you certainly opened a Pandora's box. You've made very strong points, and we should follow through in coming weeks in discussing them. Thank you so much. A very enlightening exchange. Thank you. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. Just before I get started, I happen to see a very, very, very young Eutrice lead at the Slave Theater introducing John Henry Clark. You look so young, it looked like I would have had to ask your daddy for a date in that day. You've been at this a long time. Do you remember that? Do you remember that particular incident?
How are you going to forget introducing John Henry Clark at any time? You can't forget that.
Yeah, at the Slave Theater. But anyway, digging right in, if Jeff Bezos and the rest of the people, oh, you were asking about Tesla, that was Elon Musk who you were thinking of. But my point is that Jeff Bezos and the rest of those people, if they are not paying taxes like the rest of us, it is somewhat of our money that they could do a joyride on. So I just wanted to bring that point up. When you see people picking up bottles in the street, when I see other people, especially like Guatemalans and other people, having babies on their back selling Guinip and selling mangoes, and where these people just are allowed to get away with it with the lobbyists that allow them not to pay taxes, that is a crime. That is a crime that nobody else is, none of us are talking about. How we're saddled with taxes, and these guys get to do absolutely, they pay nothing. I don't know how to justify that, Eutrice.
Well, we're not trying to justify it. We're trying to figure out what is the connection between the analysis of what it is you've just started pointing out, and where we are as a society.
They're able to do that because they don't have the same saddle on their back of taxes like the rest of us.
Okay, so what do you do?
Well, what we do is we need to, the senators and the lobbyists who allow that, we need to bring them up on charges for allowing this to continue, to have the Defense Department continue to rape the American public as well. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the money to go to the Defense Department does not go to the men and women who serve in uniform. It goes to the defense contractors. So we need to tighten our purse strings by not having Lockheed Martin and the rest of the band of gypsies from continuing to build planes and tanks and other things that are probably not necessary.
Are you secretly saying that we should expect at some point a revelation that this trip, this intergalactic trip by Bezos, has ultimately the intention of getting deeply into military manufacturing and so forth.
Oh, no, they're already doing that. I believe, I can't prove it. I believe they already have a base on the moon. I believe so. So, I mean, because they're not telling you and I, Utrice, nor will they ever, that they're sending up rockets into the space and going where. Of course, they already have a space station. But in my opinion, I believe they. No, it's that's already done. What I'm saying is that partially some of the reason they could take this joyride is because the American taxpayer has subsidized it because they're not paying their taxes.
By the way, how do you know that nothing serious is really happening on this trip?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that, and nor will we know that.
You call it a joyride.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, we've already conquered some parts of space. They've gone around the moon. You know, they've sent other things to Mars. So just going. Look, I was formerly in the military, in the Air Force. I flew subspace. I mean, so going a little bit further than what I did is, I'm going to say it's no big deal. But I don't think that that's the crux of the whole thing here. The crux of the whole thing is that they're able to show off their brand new Cadillac on the taxpayer. That's my opinion.
Is there something else happening here? Are they on another mission and disguising it as, you know, just to show the fellow Americans the great strides they have made in research and development?
It could be. It very well could be, but I don't believe that's the crux of it. Again, because they've conquered other things. So with that, I don't want to hold up the time for someone else. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I'll always remember that young Utrice at the Slave Theater.
But I'm still young.
Okay, Utrice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right,
Sonia bye-bye. From the Bronx, you're on the air. What are your thoughts today? What is your gut feeling about today? Are you there?
Hello? Hello?
Sonia.
Hello?
Is Sonia there? Okay. So who is calling? Who's answering on the other end? Are you Scott? Oh, we have a very terrible connection.
Yeah, I agree with all these other callers. It's disgusting what these guys are doing. They're wasting money. They're wasting taxpayer money. And they have a history of abusing their employees, not paying them minimum wage, not paying them any kind of good wage. The conditions are horrendous in Amazon. And Jeff Bezos is, and the other one, Richard, what's his name? Richard Branson.
Branson.
Yeah. This is showing off their money, their wealth, their status, and their supremacy. And I also think it's a phallic symbol, these spaceships, and you know, whatever lack they have in their life.
You are way out there on this one.
Well, that's what I feel, ma'am. That's what I feel.
I know what you feel, but
that's what I feel. And
a little bit of logic wouldn't hurt.
Well, that is logical because you know, ma'am. You know, we're talking from the heart and we're talking real. So let's be honest with each other, you know. And you know, I think. Hello.
I'm listening.
Oh, okay. So, you know, what they've done is doesn't serve humanity at all. And I think it's disgusting.
How could the thing is this. You're going from one extreme to
I'm talking to you from my heart. Can you let me express my heart?
No. This is not about speaking from your heart alone. You also have a responsibility as you speak from your heart not to make outlandish statements.
Well,
and
not
to say all of these people, this is what they do, or all of these people are guilty of this. That's irresponsible.
ma'am, I have a right to express my feelings, and that's all.
No, you do not have a right to cast aspersions on people under the guise that you're expressing your feelings. You save that for your therapist.
I respectfully ask you.
When you are in the public space, sharing public space with people who are expressing their points of view and opinions, you have to be very careful to delineate the difference that you don't know all these people personally. You have no evidence right now as you are speaking from your heart.
I'm
guilty of this, 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 and this.
Yeah, you asked your callers for an opinion, and I'm giving you my opinion. And I would appreciate you.
No, you're not. No, but listen to me. This is not an opinion that you're giving. This is invective.
Well,
people get confused about it. An opinion means that you have evaluated facts. You have done additional research. You have compared and contrasted the views of other people who have authority in the area that you want to discuss. People just say, well, it's my opinion. You're not even close to an opinion. You're just venting. You're venting. That is irresponsible.
Ma'am, you're really offending me because you're not respecting how I'm feeling.
You're not listening at all.
I'm saying,
if you have an opinion, let's hear it. And we'll know that we're hearing an opinion, not because you just open your mouth and you're jabbering and things are coming out of your mouth, but you're expressing an opinion and you are giving us indication that you have studied the thing, which you haven't. You're just yammering.
You're wrong. You're interjecting in something that absolutely is untrue. I'm telling you, from my personal feelings and my information that I have about what I feel, and I think it's a waste of money.
This is not a program dedicated to what you feel. If you are expressing what you feel based on what facts, based on what examination you have conducted, you can't just open your mouth and spew things, and you're indicting people over here, and you attacking people over there, and you lay it all on my lap. No way. No way.
You don't want to hear the truth. You want to hear what you want to hear, and not the truth of what other people's truths are.
Now you're starting to argue, which means that you haven't been listening. It's fine. I want people to express an opinion. What you have heard, everybody calling in so far, they have expressed opinions, and they have cited, they have given the rationale for what they believe. They didn't just stand up there or call in and start spewing stuff, and what we have to do is just listen to whatever it is. Mud you're slinging. No, that's irresponsible and it's wrong. It is great if you have an opinion, but let's hear your opinion. I don't want to hear mindless accusations and comments that are not necessarily true. You can't allow that. That's not an opinion.
And they're going out and wasting money for no reason.
You see, there you go again. How do you know they're going out and wasting money? Do you follow all of them? Do you have any indication that you can tell us that you have proof that they're going out there and wasting money?
Yes, how did this help humanity, what they're doing? There's millions of people starving on the planet, homeless. Veterans are homeless. People are starving to death. People are dying from COVID, and they're going out and flying around in spaceships that don't do anything to help humanity.
They're not flying around in spaceships. This is what I mean. If you're personally offended, that's one thing. If you have personal problems with what has happened today, that's one thing. but don't even think of presenting it as a scientific analysis.
I'm telling you my opinion.
You're just spewing.
You ask the callers for their opinion, and I'm giving you my opinion, whether you like it or not.
I keep saying to you, sir, it is not an opinion. You have to go now and study what is an opinion. You're not anywhere close to an opinion. You have said nothing that you can validate. Nothing. You haven't given us a rational explanation for why you have arrived at a point of view that you have arrived at. You're just talking.
All that money that they spend, they could house people, they could feed people, they could get medication.
We know that, but you haven't done any research at all. You haven't formulated an opinion.
I've done a ton of research.
And you haven't formulated an opinion.
I formulated everything, and everything I'm saying is true.
All right.
If you disagree with it, that's not my fault. You have a difference of opinion. You have a difference, whatever. But I'm telling you my truth.
You keep talking about this word opinion, and I'm telling you, you have not yet arrived at an opinion.
Well, I disagree with you.
Of course you do. You do not yet have an opinion. You're just yammering.
I disagree with you.
Of course you do.
From my heart and from my knowledge, and I told you my truth. And you don't want to accept it. But you still insist.
You insist on not listening. You insist on it.
Insist on what?
You want to bring yourself to the point where when you make a point, especially one of this gravity, that you can back it up.
You can cite
where you have gotten your information from. You can
listen.
I'm not listening. I'm the person running the show. You don't tell me, listen. You're not my boss. Get out of here. And show some respect. I am telling you, you are not even close to an opinion. Because you have not in this conversation indicated that you've done research, that you can back up your point because you read this or such and such was published and backs you up. You're not bringing to this party, you know, credible defenses for what it is you're saying. And then you insist you have an opinion. No, you're just talking. When you have time to organize your thoughts and you have time to back up what you're saying by citing how these various things support what you say, you have an opinion. Until then, you're just talking. As James Brown said, you're talking loud and saying nothing. Thanks. Okay. Is Sonia with us or not? Okay. People keep using this word rather, you know, well, that's my opinion. No, you don't have one yet. You're not even close to an opinion. If an opinion fell on you, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't recognize it because you don't know what an opinion is. I've been saying this for how long now? Express your opinion, of course, but let it be an opinion. This program is not a venting venue where you just call up and you start, you know, you throw caution to the wind and you just say whatever it is, and then I'm left to pick up the pieces, and I'm left now to figure out how do I explain my dereliction of duty? My job is to make you do your work so that you, in turn, can express your opinion. And I'm glad to provide you the space to do that, but it must be an opinion. All right. I'm hearing some music in the background, and it means that we have to go. The program has ended, and I thank you so much. This was a vigorous exchange, and we're not done. So let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.